This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line Week 7 kicks off as we welcome you in. I'm Patrick Maher, live from L.A. Michael Lombardi there, Ocean City, New Jersey in the fall. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So injuries, we've got a short week. We've got two 2-4 teams, two nondescript teams. Here's one thing I will say, Michael, to kick you off. Let's not complain about this matchup, because come summer, we just want football, we're all going to be begging for the Saints in the desert.
You will not hear me complain one word about this. No, I'm going to enjoy it. I actually think, I said on my pod, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this idea. Amazon Prime should give away The Wizard of Oz as a tribute to the mayor. Like, give it away for a week. Let people watch it in Technicolor and all the behind-the-scenes stuff. It'd be great. Kind of a branding, keep things in. We'll see if our man, who averages 5.8 yards per attempt throwing the football. Do you know this, Patrick? There's not one receiver other than Hollywood Brown on the Arizona Cardinals that average over 10 yards a catch.
Follow down the yellow brick
there
road.
We're just going to go right down it.
Well, why shouldn't we? And injuries are going to be a point of contention for tonight's Thursday night game with New Orleans at Arizona. Let me set you up really quickly here. Of course, you just mentioned great point by Bill AD in the newsletter, which you can sign up for free. Just go to VSiN.com, enter your email address. 3 first quarter points through 6 games for Arizona. They're averaging 19 points per. We're at a place where Kingsbury might be handing over the play calling duties. DeAndre Hopkins is back. Robbie Anderson, of course, no Marquise Brown. What really concerns you for Arizona, let's start in their camp, is Pugh, the left guard, and Hudson, the center. Those two are out, and potentially their top two running backs, Michael. They're banged up, Arizona.
Right, and they couldn't, and last week they couldn't protect against Seattle. They had, he got sacked 6 times in that game. And so that was a problem. And it can't throw the ball down the field, 5.8 yards. And what's remarkable, when you watch them, you would never realize this, but their ability to get completions and rushing attempts is second in the league, only to the Eagles. The problem is all they're doing is getting 3 yards, 3 yards, 3 yards. And then when they get to third down, they're so bad on third down at 34.1%, they can't convert. And so it's a real issue. So, their execution on the surface, okay, looks good. Too many negative plays. They are playing better defensively. There's no denying that. They've improved from the beginning of the season to where they are defensively. But there has been no explosive plays. Look, I think Hopkins will catch the first pass of the game. I think they're going to try to get the ball to Hopkins all they can. The problem is everybody knows that. There's no other receiver that they're worried about. Rondell Moore, we talked about him in college. He's explosive. 8 yards a catch. How about this? A.J. Green, they're paying all this money to this veteran guy, leadership, all that, right? He's got 10 catches. His longest catch is 10 yards. He's averaging 5.6 a catch.
Woof.
Woof is right.
Woof is right.
And all this comes back. It circles back to the mayor. Like, is it him and his $250 million contract, or is it they have no explosive receivers? You decide.
For those of you that are new to the Lombardi Line or GM Shuffle, the new episode up today, VSiN.com, the mayor is Kyler Murray. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. Those of you that may not know who the mayor is, quickly on the number, we opened 2.5 with Arizona laying it. Immediately, some early money on New Orleans, Michael, hit this number down to 1.5. But then now we've started to see percentages and money go to Arizona. And we're everywhere. As a matter of fact, while you were just talking, DraftKings went to 3. So DraftKings is 105 on 3, so could be headed back to 2.5. But mostly everybody's Arizona 2.5.
Yeah, I have it as a 2.56 game on my power rankings. And
wow.
And when you look at the number, when you look at these two teams, they're just not, they don't execute in the key areas of what wins games. I mean, New Orleans just turns the ball over way too much. I mean, they can't get any consistency. They turn it over too much. And Arizona can't make an explosive play. And when the head coach won't take field goals, when he won't take field goals, then they're not going to. Last week they didn't score a touchdown. I know they had 9 points in the game, but they got the ball because the punter of Seattle dropped the ball in the end zone and Bongio recovered it. So this offense has not been explosive in every game they've played. I mean, they were fortunate enough in the Raider game to get those two touchdowns and the 2-point conversions with a phantom call in the end zone that nobody remembers now, but I do.
So, question for you. If this offense, which is scoring 19 points per, and they hired the head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, because he's an offensive genius, the defense is outshining the offense right now. The quarterback has devolved this year. So what is the point of Kingsbury, and what is the point of what's happening right now in the desert? Because they re-upped Kyler. They re-upped Kingsbury. It's a mess right now.
It really is. I mean, and the best unit they have, and I think he's doing it with mirrors more than he's doing anything, is what Vance Joseph's doing on defense. I mean, I think he's doing it more with less talent, you know. Percentage of scoring, teams don't score on him. He's played really well. They've gotten better. They've played better run defense lately. They've kind of eliminated giving up the big plays. I mean, when you start the season off and you give up over 400, almost 500 yards to Kansas City, they've kind of scaled that back. Now, they don't turn the ball over. They're not a fast, explosive defense. And so when the offense turns the ball over, like they've done in the past 3 weeks, they've turned it over four times. They're fortunate enough against Carolina. That went for a score against Carolina on a fumble recovery. But for the most part, they haven't turned the ball over defensively. So when the offense turns it over, they get in trouble. I think this is another low-scoring game. I think both teams have to be very careful how they play this one, because both teams are not explosive when they're trying to make plays.
Well, you're all over the movement as far as the total. Open 46-ish somewhere in there, and it's 43.5 pretty much everywhere across the board. DraftKings is sitting 44. Of course, the primetime unders continue to cash. This is, again, no Marquise Brown, so the injuries and potentially done for the year. Robbie Anderson and his impact, kind of a similar player to Brown. You can line him up outside. You can tell him to go. Do you expect anything from the mercurial wide receiver here?
I don't see how he can actually come in and do that. I really don't. I think it's going to be hard for him to come in and learn the offense and get on the same page with this guy. You know, I mean, look, let's face it. I mean, they have not been a fast starting team. They have, you know, they don't score points in the first half. So I can't really see that. I can't see them being able to get him. I mean, throw a nine route. Everybody knows when he's going to go in the game, it's either going to be a nine. Robbie's not a yards after the catch receiver. He's not a great slant runner. He's an outside the field, over route, deep comebacks, nine routes. And so when you know that going in, I'm sure Dennis Allen, hey, if he's in the game, it's going to be a nine or a comeback. We got to play that.
So mention Pugh, who's out for the year. Wasn't he going to retire before the year started as well? The guard, he's very good. And Rodney Hudson, yeah. The center's out. This is a team that gave up 6 sacks to maybe the worst pass rush in football. That is the Seattle Seahawks. Constant pressure on Kyler Murray. What concerns me, and I know this is a broken record, Michael, but was just the body language in Seattle. Again, remember, Arizona racked up 27.5 points per game against the Raiders and Panthers. Against the Chiefs, the Rams, the Seahawks, and Eagles, they've scored under 15. So there's two anomalies there. This has been just disastrous on offense. What's the change from a team that went to the postseason last year?
I mean, they're so far down in every category. I think the change is simply people are playing the quarterback better. I think they rush him. They understand who he is. They eliminate the beep-beep plays, him running around, throwing here, throwing there. And he looks so disinterested. I mean,
yes.
Does he not look disinterested to you? Like, if I were the general manager of the Cardinals, I'd say, like, we're counting on you to be our leader. We're not counting on you to be moping, you know? And then they're not even attempting to block. I mean, how do you think that went over in the team meeting room? I mean, if that would have happened in New England or anywhere, I mean, the coaches, I mean, this is what we want from our players. I mean, we're just not even going to try. I mean, at least Carson Wentz tried. He tried to get in the way of that. So I don't know. I mean, to me, this is all goes back to what we saw last year. They obviously didn't see it. You know, when he came back off that injury, remember when he came back off that injury in Chicago, they won, but they were not throwing the ball effectively at all in that game.
I just want to reiterate what you just said there. So when we were watching Thursday night, when we were watching Washington and Chicago, remember when Wentz kept on going to that pack and putting his fingers and his hand inside because his hand was broken. He's out for the next 4 to 6 weeks. His hand was broken. While with a broken hand on an end around, he was throwing blocks. We bring that up because we had Rondale Moore, a little end around where he had to adjust in Seattle, and Kyler Murray literally stood there almost like, yeah, have fun with that. That is an issue. That's an issue.
I think it is. I don't see how you could overlook that. I really don't. I don't see how you overlook that. I just feel like, to me, he shows you he's not interested. And all this conversation about, well, you know, that clause shouldn't have been in his contract, that clause, wait a minute, time out. Wait a minute, we're seeing a guy that makes mistakes on the field, slides when he shouldn't have slid, made the kicker. We didn't even get to the kicker. I mean, have they changed? I know they put a kicker on their practice squad, but do you really want to bet this game in a three-point game with Matt Amendola, the kicker for Arizona? If that's what you want to do, then don't ask me for advice. I don't want to do it.
So the Cards, you mentioned it, and I agree with you. You mentioned the disparate, how different they are. They've been outscored 41-3 in the first quarter. They're your worst betting first-half team, and then they turn it on in the second half. So
But were they picking up? I mean, last year they averaged 28 seconds per play. This year they're down to 26.4, which is still high in the league. Everybody's playing slower. The Bucks and the Lions are the fastest two teams in the league at 26.3. But the Lions were at 28.2 last year. I mean, Buffalo was at 28.5. They're down to 27. I think there's a lot of slower pace going on here, even though that's one of the reasons why we're seeing this. You wonder why the unders are coming in? We're down a point per game, Patrick.
It is. It's interesting how we've seen scoring decrease this year across the board in the NFL. By the way, the Lions may want to slow down because speeding up gets that defense out there quicker.
That's unbelievable. That's what I love. They can't play defense, but they're going to play fast.
So let's
speed
it up.
Just give you the ball.
Yeah. All right. That's the Cardinals. The Saints also banged up. We'll get to their side. Plus, I have a prop for Kyler Murray I want to throw at Michael next.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, speaking of Lombardi, tomorrow he's going to drop the Lombardi Look Ahead. If you want to get that article, you have to be a VSiN Pro. That's what I'm telling you. It's a $99 through the Super Bowl. So what you get is you get literally every guide, NHL, NBA, college, pro. But you get Point Spread weekly every Wednesday, exclusive articles from Michael. You get our picks. Remember, if you don't feel like handicapping, we'll do it for you, and we'll send you an email every day, but you have to become a VSiN Pro. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. I look forward to the Lombardi Look Ahead. Steven and I were talking about that.
I look forward to writing it. You know, the one thing when you write, it helps you kind of condense your thoughts. It helps you kind of look at the league from a little bit of an objective standpoint, kind of push it back and kind of get some things and take some ideas that perhaps that nobody's really discussing. Like, for example, talked about it on the podcast. You know, yards per attempt in rushing is up, but yards per attempt in passing is way down. I mean, the lack of explosive plays. Like, if I were to say to you, Patrick, Miami Dolphins, how many times have they scored over 22 points in the league this year? You would say how many?
You would think a lot. You got McDaniels, you got the pre-snap motion, you've got this exotic offense. They must be scoring, no?
No. I mean, they've only had the one game. The outlier game is the Baltimore game. Everything else, they've scored in the teens,
that was
20 or 21. Yeah, that's
that
one
was
half.
I mean, half that was like nuts.
And other than that, they can't make an explosive play and they can't get it down the field. They're kind of like and so my point is we as better in a betting network, we have to be very careful of kind of allowing these perceptions to build in our head that these teams are what they really aren't. You know, we think Miami explosive. Okay, yeah, they've got explosive players. They haven't been able to make that because defenses are defending them a lot different. They've scored, what, 15? They've scored three times in the teens. Now, they don't have two in the game. Skylar Thompson, I thought, would have won the game for them, but he got hurt. But still, they're just so inconsistent with their inability. They get too many penalties. I know we didn't want to talk about Miami. I don't know how we got on it. But that, to me, is kind of, as bettors, we have to throw out the perceptions and look at really the facts.
Well, I'd like to elaborate. Let's talk about that, but let's equate it to the Saints. The Saints are scoring 23.5 points per game. I mentioned Arizona. They're scoring 19 points per game. It's almost like where the Wildcat, remember when your boy down in Miami started running that Wildcat? And eventually, you and others were like, don't worry, defenses will catch up to this. And now the Wildcat is used very sparingly. The best way I know this is a better. Back in the day, I used to look at the board and I'd see totals in the 30s, right? You know, 34, 35, 36s. for the last few years, Michael, we've only seen 40s into the 50s. This year, we're starting to see a bunch of 30s pop up. And as a matter of fact, three games are sitting in the 30s as I look at the board right now. Tonight's game, 43.5 on the total. Let's go to the Saints. We don't know who's going to be starting at quarterback. The expectations are Andy Dalton. Let's start there. Do you expect to see the Red Rifle under center tonight?
I do. You know, I think we'll get some Taysom Hill. I mean, they got to get Taysom Hill. You know, Taysom Hill's got 5 touchdown rushing already this season. I mean, they need him and be part of their offense, because what's happened since the Carolina game that they lost, they haven't been able to really stop anybody. Minnesota, they didn't stop anybody. Seattle, they couldn't stop them. They won, but they didn't stop Seattle. Seattle scored 30. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Patrick.
Bless you. No, you're
I apologize.
Fine.
I couldn't help
Which
it.
Which is
I
odd because we
it.
Expect that defense, especially that front. You expect stops
exactly.
from that defense coming into the year.
Exactly. Last week when they had the chance to win the game, they were up by 3 points. You know, Cincinnati comes down the field and scores. So their defense hasn't been able to get control. They haven't been able to stop the run, right? They've given up 4-6 a carry. And where you think they would be good, they're good on third down, but I don't think they can actually get control of the game. And as the longer the game goes, they become less effective. They've given up 63 points in the fourth quarter this year, Patrick, in 6 games. I mean, that's a lot of points in the fourth quarter.
100%. And the injuries are adding up here. No Jarvis Landry, no Michael Thomas. Olave is going to return from that concussion. I will say this.
They need him. They need Olave. I mean, I don't know how, you know, Landry's a tough guy, but they need Olave. They need somebody to make explosive plays. And Kamara's back. I thought Kamara looked like Kamara of old last week.
He did. He did. And I actually thought he was ruled out last week. I apologize for that heading into the game. He looked like he had that burst because it looked like, I don't know, it's weird. He's, to me, if you start the running back conversation before the season, I think you would agree with this. Kamara would have been top 3. There was something missing. I don't know if the off-the-field stuff added up.
I think he was hurt. I think he was hurt. Now, tonight's game, I think, to me, is bettors and betting network here. We got to be really careful. We got 2 field goal kickers that you can't rely on. Will Lutz is inconsistent, even from the 30. He's missed 1 from 30. He's missed 2 inside of 40. You got to be really careful here. And then, of course, Amendola. I'm not sure why he's even on a team, but he is. Now, I don't know if he's going to play. They may cut him today. They have a kicker on their practice squad. But, you know, with this line being where it is, just be careful. Be really careful here about what side you're going to pick, because you're going to go with a kicker that could be a lot of trouble.
Also, huge miss for the Saints. I know he was out last week, but no Marshawn Lattimore. Why do I bring that up? Wide receiver ones. Let's take a look. Jefferson, Tyler Lockett, and Ja'Marr Chase last week all had big games. Marshawn Lattimore, you can leave him alone. I'm looking at DeAndre Hopkins. His number is 61.5, somewhere in between there for receiving yards. You expect there to be a concerted effort to get the ball to Hopkins tonight, no Lattimore.
Yeah, you know that Dennis Allen knows that. To me, this game's all about how Dennis Allen rushes the quarterback, how he keeps him in the pocket, forces him to be a dropback passer, forces him to make plays, and makes him have to see the field. And that's something he hasn't done. That's why these yards per attempt are so low. You know, when he has a clean pocket, he can see the field. When he doesn't, when it gets tight, you know, 5.8 yards per attempt, Patrick, is an all-time bad. I mean, that's not even close. You know, that's not even backup quarterback-like. I mean, that's really as bad as it gets. And, you know, and we're seeing this decline in him. Usually what happens when you see older quarterbacks, you see this yards per attempt go way down because of they're getting hit too much. But, you know, when he first came in the league, he was at 6'9". Then he went to 7'1". Then he had the huge spike last year. In the beginning part of the season last year, he had the huge spike. He's up to 7. Now he's down to 5'8". Like, he's never been a down-the-field thrower, except for last year a little bit. But I think people now, after 52 games of being a starter, I think people have a better understanding of how to play the guy.
I totally agree with you. I'm going to get to a prop with Kyler here in a second. Taysom Hill, anytime touchdown score tonight, plus 140, plus 150, somewhere in there. I think you're going to see a lot of Hill. I think they have to get exotic with Hill, and that's going to start.
He really helps their offense. He gives them a dimension that, you know, and I'm sure – you know, Vance Joseph, who's done a nice job defending in the last 3 games, knows this when he comes in. But he could still throw it a little bit, too. So I think you'll see that. I think you'll see the way they've rotated these quarterbacks in. I think you'll see a little bit of both.
I was looking at the numbers, like as far as Kamara, because I expect Kamara to continue. But, you know, the Cardinal defense, Joseph deserves a lot of credit. When you start digging into their numbers, for example, wide receiver one against the Cards, you know, they've shut down the wide receivers. They've actually done a pretty good job against the run this year. And if you ask just a common fan, let me know who the stud is on the Cardinals defense, you're not going to find many that can give answers. They've actually played quite well.
They really
have.
They
play better than the Saints defense.
They've played, look, they have played really well since the second half of the Raider game. They have. You know, they lose to the Rams 20, but they only gave up 20 to the Rams. Not that the Rams are very good offensively. The other factor is they held Philly to 20 points. That's 17-7. They made Philly drive it down the field. Philly had to kick a field goal at the end of the game. So they gave themselves a chance to win. They played Philly as well as anybody has played Philly.
Correct.
All year long. And they really, other than the Kansas City game, they just haven't played, you know, they didn't play defensively very well there in the Kansas City game. But other than that, I think they have. In the first half of the Raider game where they're behind 20-0. But since that game, they have really done a nice job. You know, they haven't played great offenses. Philly was the best one. They held Philly. Look, Philly only ran the ball for 139 yards against them, which is not typical for Philadelphia.
And that's why, with the unders continuing the cash for Arizona, that's why you're seeing that number drop. Of course, Thursday night unders are 5-1 this year. I got a prop for you. So Kyler Murray's rush total is set at 32.5 yards. That's what I got it at. It's in between 29 and 33. So let's go 32.5. Season's on the line. 6 sacks last week. The offensive line is in tatters. My expectations are designed runs because, again, Williams and Connor, both question marks. Williams is out, and James Connor potentially could be out. Designed runs, a lot of pressure from the Saints with the offensive line in tatters up the middle. I expect Kyler to get out and run tonight.
I think he's got to. I think they got to move him around the pocket. They got to do something for him so he can see it down. They got to make explosive. They're not going to beat anybody averaging 5.8 yards per attempt. It just doesn't work. And what's happening is their completion percentage is unbelievable. He's attempted 252 passes for the season. You know, but he's not making any plays with those plays. Like, you've got to be able to get the ball down the field. And they've got to be careful because that offensive line isn't very good right now.
You think Bidwill goes to Keim, the general manager, and says, so we paid him, right? Is this going to get better? Because he looks he looks disinterested.
They sit
That's
next
not
to each
time.
Other at the game. They sit next to each other at the game. I'd hate to be in that seat. I would be like, oh, man, don't ask me that question.
They're
like,
contenders or pretenders next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Lombardi Line, as we welcome you back here on a Thursday, we kick off week 7, Thursday Night Football, of course, there in the desert, New Orleans at Arizona. The number's sitting 2.5. DraftKings went to 3 with Arizona laying it. We'll continue the conversation in regards to Thursday Night Football. We've got a stack show. Got Will Hill coming up in about 12. We've got professional handicapper Mike Samich, and we've got the red hot Mike Palm.
Ooh, he's on fire.
With Palms pressing 5. Or excuse me, 3.
Now
maybe
we're
he'll add
up
two
to 5.
No, no, no. I'm just joking. It's 3. But he is, and we have to give him a few minutes to discuss it. He's been freaking on fire, Palm.
Really has. Obviously he's competing against 16 of the best handicappers in the country, in college and in pro, which I think is the hardest thing. You know, people ask me, who do you like at college? Some teams I have a feel for, some teams I don't. But, you know, these guys are doing it in both, in the Matt Eumanns I Never Sleep tournament, you know, because it's really remarkable how they're handling it, and it's great. I think it's great for our network. I think it's great that for the Circa, and I think it's great that Derek Stevens did what he did to put the money up. So it's a lot of. I look forward to listening to the shows.
Oh, it's great. It is. It's called Saturday Bet Prep. It's 9 to midnight Eastern time. But remember, what Michael's referencing is the Circa Invitational, where they've got 16 professional handicappers, including our buddy the Bear, Chris Felica. But you can get all those picks. All you have to do is become a VSiN pro, VSiN.com/subscribe. You can get the professionals picks, so make sure you check that out. Okay, I texted you on Sunday as the Jets were absolutely beating down. We're going to get to contenders and pretenders, but they were beating down the Packers. And I was concerned about BDV. And that's Big Daddy Vince. That's Michael Lombardi's cousin. And he, of course, is the biggest Packer fan on the planet. Well, Aaron Rodgers made public suggestions that the offensive game plan needed to be simplified. And then LaFleur came out and said, yeah, I don't really know what he's talking about. To start this conversation, I have a question for you. We've worked together for a long time, and I've never noticed something behind you. We always talk about genuflecting at the feet of Matt LaFleur. When you bring up his name, he's won 13 games for three straight years. We talk about genuflecting. Did you put the Bible behind you in your office because of Matt LaFleur? Because when you stood up this last time, I noticed there's a Bible behind you.
It's not a Bible. It's a dictionary. That's a huge dictionary. That's not a Bible.
Okay, so then now we have to pull back the curtain. Me and the control room were all taking bets on what the book was behind you, and now we know it's a dictionary. It looks sweet. It looks awesome.
It's a huge dictionary. It's one of those old dictionaries that you have, and so you can look up words and the meaning and all that. Yeah, it's tremendous. It's so heavy. You have to have a place for it. I didn't have a place in my other office, and here it's so, you know, when you're writing a lot. You know, sometimes when you're in the middle of writing something, you don't want to stop and go and get out of that to get to something else. And so it's always easier to kind of have the old school way to doing it.
Well, do me a favor. Either lean just a little bit to the left or right so the viewers can take a look, because it's a pretty sweet looking.
I'll let you see it.
Look, no, right over his shoulder, you can see it.
Let me see here. There it is right here.
You can see it. Look at that. That thing's sweet. And that's for Rob back in the control room. Rob said it's probably a dictionary because of how much you write. So, Rob, you were right. Stephen Bond said Bible. I was somewhere in the middle, waffling, per usual.
My mother would have liked it to be a Bible, but obviously it wasn't.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Let's go there. 3-3 again. LaFleur, three straight 13-win seasons. They're 17th in passing yards. They're 22nd in points scored on offense. Rodgers this year has just 20. He's 8 of 27 on passes of 20-plus yards. So there's a lot missing. And by the way, a defense that's loaded with studs is underperformed.
No doubt. I mean, but here's where I think we lose sight a little bit of things. And this is where, you know, I've tried to explain this to Big Daddy, and he doesn't want to hear it, because Big Daddy starts with Gutekunst. He starts with Murphy and works his way down. He thinks that LaFleur, he has other names for LaFleur, but he thinks LaFleur is basically just in charge of fan engagement. And now when LaFleur was trying to get the team excited, he wasn't really, you know, he wasn't buying that. But to me, when you traded away Davante Adams, you can't say to yourself, I'm going to run the same offense that I had last year with Rodgers, and I'm just going to put pieces in. Like, this isn't baseball. You don't replace a third hitter with another third hitter, right? Like, you've got to figure out who's going to replace him. And when they decided to go the young route, right? And this is why Rodgers is saying what he's saying. When they decided to go the young route, they've got to scale back, because these guys are making way too many mistakes. They're not running the routes at the right depth. And the fans can't see the mistakes, and the TV commentators don't see the mistake, because they're not out there. They're not overt. Right? There's subtleties in the mistakes they're making. And so when you're watching their tape, there's no rhythm, rhyme, or reason on what they're doing, because they're running Green Bay's offense with Davante Adams that they don't have him anymore. So why? So when you had Davante Adams, you're going to get a rolled coverage to that side. Nobody was going to leave him on an island unless it was zero blitz, right? And then you're taking your chance in your own hands. So you know when you have a skilled player like Adams or Tyreek, you're getting certain coverages rolled to him. So that sets up other things. Now you don't have to play it. I thought his key line that he said in what Rodgers said, and you have to break down everything he says. He said, the Jets understood what we were doing. They took it away. That's a really revealing statement. They knew what he was trying to get to, and so they were able to do it. You know, and that's an indictment on LaFleur's offense of not being adaptive to his new situation. Every year's a new year. And one of the things I think with these stats I was talking about on the podcast is the game is shifting, Patrick, from this offset back shotgun all the time. It's eventually, we're going to get back to a two-back attack eventually, because teams don't know how to defend it. And it takes some of the pressure off the quarterback. All the pressure that's getting put on the quarterback in this spread constant spread, not spread on third down. I'm talking about regular downs, is a problem. And LaFleur never adjusted it. Like, he's running the same offense as if he's got Davante Adams out there. That makes no logical sense.
We will see the I formation aplenty in the future because that's just the way the world works. Everything's cyclical. Everything comes and goes. It's just the kind of the way things go. But to your point about LaFleur, and it's interesting, even with the 13-3 seasons, you always said there was something missing. What you just said concerns me. When a coach is married to a system but can't adjust and can't adapt based on personnel, that's a big-time concern.
Well, he's never been that way. Like this I always laugh about. Sir Wink Martindale got, you know, played against him. He was 0 for 11 on third down when he was the OC at Tennessee. I mean, this game he's 4 for 16 on third down against the Jets. He had 16 third downs in the game. They're 4 for 16. Now, the Jets were 1 for 11. They still won the game. So he's never been an adjustment coach. He's never said, oh, wait a minute, I can't block that end over here. I can't block Pierre Paul. I can't block Shaq Barrett, but that's okay. I'm just still going to try to get five out. He's never been. He's a, I'm going to run my stuff. Now, people say that's ridiculous. No, Zach Taylor and him and all, they run their things. That's what they run. And it's the player's job to execute. It looks perfect on the blackboard. They all think they're quoting Bill Walsh. That isn't even remotely what Bill Walsh believed. It was about adjustments for Bill.
Green Bay, can they get right? They're 3-3. They head to Washington. Taylor Heinicke under center for the Commanders. The Commanders in that conversation for worst team in football. The number opened 5.5-ish. It's been bet down to 4.5, 5. So this is, you know, this is essentially, again, offensive line's been a disaster. The wide receivers haven't clicked. The defense has failed to live up to expectations. The special teams is a mess. A lot going on right now in a two straight losses here for the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, and look, they have not been able to, one of the things that really affect the Packers is they can't stop teams from completing passes that they've gotten. Like Daniel Jones had like 5 incomplete passes. I mean, when Zach Wilson only throws the ball 11 times in the game, I mean, I had 10 completions in the game. I mean, come on. What are we doing? We don't get enough pressure on the court. We can't create turnovers. It's a real issue. And you talk about a team that doesn't adjust. I mean, they haven't really adjusted. They never saw the Green Bay. I mean, they're up 17-3 against the Giants. And all they have to do is keep extending that lead or get a stop on third down against the Giants. And they let the Giants stay right in the game, get it 17-10 at the half. No, they got it 20-10 at the half. And then they can't score in the second half. They can't score in the second half. I mean, they can't stop the run. That's the number one thing. 25th in the league in yards per attempt, right? You could say, well, they're great against the pass. Well, the reason people are good against the pass is they haven't played a lot of great quarterbacks, A. And B, when you can run the ball like the Jets did against them, why should you throw it?
We've got Will Hill, who's Mr. Minnesota Viking, coming up next. What's funny is they could win that division. Do you think Minnesota's any good? No.
I mean, I watched them yesterday again. I don't know how they won that game. I mean, they were not good against Miami. Miami won the game. Give Mike Pomp credit for taking Minnesota in that one because I didn't see that. And Miami, you know, losing their quarterback, I think that affected them. But still, they made enough big plays to win the game.
I was dialed in on that Minnesota-Miami game. Minnesota's offense was disgusting. They were bad. Very bad. And fascinating as they lead that division, which is terrible. Okay, Mr. Viking Will Hill is coming up next. We'll take a deep dive. He's got a prop and a play on the Thursday night game next here at Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, football fans, you can turn a loss into the win and a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a single first touchdown score prop bet on any Monday or Thursday night football game. So again, if your bet loses on that first touchdown score prop, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. It's a great deal. It's free money coming back to you. Take a chance at that first touchdown score prop over at BetMGM. It's very easy to do. BetMGM.com or download the app. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. 21 years or older. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Lombardi Line, we're back here. We're loaded today. Samich in the next hour. Mike Palm, who's been red hot. And now we bring in VSiN Insider. We take a deep dive with our buddy Will Hill. He is what, Michael? He's Mr. Laker. He's Mr. Yankee.
I mean, I don't know how he's doing.
And he's Mr.
It.
Viking.
I don't know. He's got everything going. I mean, I'm sure he's probably running two or three soccer teams. I don't know how the hell he has time to do it all. I just don't know. But he's got the Lakers he's working on now. He's got to fix the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, that's a busy,
busy time for you, Will.
Wasn't nervous, but now you told me I'm opening for Mike Palm. Now this changes everything. I don't know that I'm fully prepared to open.
Hey, look. Hey, Celine Dion opened for Michael Bolton, so everybody starts somewhere, right?
Yeah, that's a good analogy. I don't know who's Celine in the analogy, but I agree. I think Ben Fox was the one that tweeted. He said, this is the 27th time where everything came together, the equinox. You got an NFL game, NHL game, NBA game, Major League Baseball. So you got a lot on your plate today, Will. That's why the beard. You haven't taken care of the beard in a long time because you've been overwhelmed here, no?
Yeah, and this is your department. I guess there's a Major League Soccer, some sort of playoff. I saw somebody tweeting about there's like the Philadelphia
games.
Union. So, yeah, you get off.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's good. It's a lot at once. It's definitely a lot at once, but it's a fun time of year. This game tonight, look, we haven't been spoiled with the most exciting games the last couple Thursday nights, but they've at least been close. But I think tonight's a good example. Like, look, as bettors, you don't have to swing at every pitch. You don't have to bet every game. They're starting to see some threes pop up. At three, I'd be tempted here to take the dog. But, you know, it's just I never like taking these road teams on Thursday night. The Saints have a kind of a troubling injury report with no Landry, no Lattimore. Michael Thomas is just a rumor at this point. He never plays football. So I'd be tempted to take the three. It's just a tough spot on the road Thursday night. Arizona is just a mess. I don't know that Hopkins is going to come back and solve everything. I'm surprised they've taken money here. If you look at Hopkins, now he makes all the difference in the world for the Cardinals, for Murray, but he hasn't played a lot of football either. The last time he played was 2 weeks before Christmas. He hasn't had a 100-yard game since 2020 in Arizona. I mean, look, they've been outscored 41-3 in the first quarter, 89-29 in the first half. It's really a bad situation for Arizona. I like the Saints and teasers just to tease them up through the three and through the nine. Now they're getting plus the three. I would lean towards the Saints. I would lean towards an under, but not a game I am dying to bet here.
Yeah, I'm with you, Will. I don't know. I think the Thursday games are hard to bet. They're fun. I don't mind watching them. I'm not complaining about any game at all, especially, you know, during the fall. So I don't mind it. But I just, to me, there's these two teams have so many question marks. The injury report. I mean, look, Hopkins is in the speed receiver. I mean, this team averages 5.8 he averages 5.8 yards per attempt. I mean, do we think that Hopkins is going to cure that big explosive play? I don't think so. And this offensive line, to me, the strength of the Saints is their front. They can rush the passer when they get going. We'll see if they can do it tonight, but I would worry about that. And the way people are playing Murray, to me, tells me that they've got a pretty good handle on exactly how to play him.
And you're not getting, Will, you're not getting a home field advantage. They were 3-5, the Cardinals, at home last year. Remember, they were 8-1 on the road. They're 0-3 to open the season there at Arizona this year. It's not like you got a home field advantage with the Cardinals.
Yeah, and the loser of this game is in a lot of trouble. I mean, there's the extra game now. There's the extra wild card spot, so it's not a season ender at 2-5, but it's pretty close. If you're 2-5, you're in a world of trouble. And, yeah, to go back to Hopkins, if you just look at his game logs from last year, it's a lot of 50 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, 60 yards. You know, you think of Hopkins as his big play, big-time receiver. We started to see the production fall off, so and again, he hasn't played since 2 weeks before Christmas, so is he going to be on a snap count, a pitch count here? I'm surprised this has gotten bet up to three in some spots.
Well, the only thing I will say, they're so bad on third down, Will. They're one of the worst teams in third down. They're 31st at 31.9% on third down. Hopkins will give him somebody he can reliably throw the ball to that will catch it. The one thing about Hopkins, when you watch him, he's always covered.
Always.
He's always covered, you know, but he always comes down with the ball. It always works at his advantage. So that might help their offense a little bit, at least keep drives alive. And I think obviously Dennis Allen knows this going in.
Yeah. Hopkins, by the way, fellas, over at DraftKings, his number for receiving yards set tonight. Will, do you want to take a stab? I don't want to put you on the spot. You want to take a stab of what they have Hopkins tonight?
They usually shade these a little higher because people like to bet overs. He's a big name player. I will go, I don't know, 65.5 or something.
Good
like
job,
that.
Will. It's 61.5. It is shaded 135 right on the juice to the over. So again, a pitch count, you would expect him to be on a pitch count. I would totally agree with that. The injuries are a big-time concern tonight. Just quickly, I did go over the 32.5 on the rush yards with Kyler Murray. I just think, Michael, especially with those injuries in the middle of that offensive front, I think there's going to be some designed runs. Like, Murray has to look at him and say, I'm designing some runs for you tonight because we have to get this offense going.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to find a way to get a 20-yard, 30-yard play in a drive. They just can't keep getting 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards, and then get into third down where they don't convert. I'm with you. They got to figure it out. And, you know, their execution has got to get – but the problem is it still starts and ends with that offensive line. I mean, they can't – they really can't get control of the game because even when they're healthy, they're not good enough.
Let me ask you, Lombardi. Let me put you on the GM spot. You're in week 7 here. You're a GM. Your team has 3 first quarter points all season. You've been outscored 89-29 in the first half. What's the problem? Where do you start? Like, what's going on?
Well, obviously, I think it starts with our game plan, right? I mean, like, typically, what you always want to evaluate is what you, the first drive of the game and the first drive of the second half. What adjustments are we making? You know, now the first drive of the game against Seattle, they went right down the field. They got the ball first and goal with the 2. He takes a 3-yard loss. They can't get it in. The play calls down there don't work. At least he took the 3 points. But to me, I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think it's a combination of the quarterback not really getting into it, the quarterback not making explosive plays, and the designs are not really there. I mean, there's some times where he's got some plays. He just doesn't make some throws. I mean, his body language, to me, Will, is the beginning and end of most all the problems.
Interesting.
And by the way, I mean, do either of you ever feel like Kingsbury, Will, I'll just start with you. Do you ever feel like he's in a rhythm with the play calling? It looks like he's running the same 7 or 8 plays every single game.
No, 100%. You're totally right about that. Like, I think you guys said the other day, Hackett looks overwhelmed. Kingsbury, you're right, looks always just sort of out of sorts.
He does. He does, Michael. He starts to get twitchy late in games. You can see when they zone in on him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a lot. I think it's so much for these guys to handle, right? They've got to call the game. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. Well, you know, Staley has people helping him with, you know, game management situations during the game. But, I mean, like seriously, that's what we want? You know, that's what we want. The head coach should – I mean, Brian Daboll has proven that if you take a step back and you manage the game and you kind of manage the 2 play callers with what you want the game to be, you got a better chance. I mean, if Kingsbury's smart, he's doing that. I mean, I think Vance Joseph's doing a nice job, but he needs to do a better job of understanding how to play the game. I mean, that was a low-scoring game, right? It's a low-scoring game, and you're turning down points. You're turning down points. You wonder why the average point is the lowest it's been in the NFL. We're just keep turning down points like left and right. No big deal. Doug Peterson does it every week. Never dawns on him that he's one of the worst teams in the league on fourth down.
Will, your Vikings will host these Cardinals. You got to buy. You're 5-1. I mean, we were talking about it, as you know, we got a couple of minutes. What's your take on your Vikings right now?
It's funny. The last few years, they've been really good, just painfully unlucky. This year, that luck has come back to them full circle. They are not very good. They are somehow 5-1. I had a couple big bets on Miami last week, +3, +3.5. Dolphins outgained them by 250 yards. The Vikings had 13 possessions, I think, or 15 possessions, 13 3 and outs. They had 11 first downs all day, and they win the game. I think if Waddle doesn't fumble, maybe it's a different story. They're 5-1, but they're kind of like the Giants here where it's a lot of luck. I don't know how good they are. They have all sorts of issues on defense. They haven't been great on offense, but you look up and you're somehow 5-1. It's just the story of the NFL.
You know, they also in that game, if you watch that game, they had, you know, the Miami had over 100 yards in penalties.
Yeah.
I mean, every time Miami would get a drive going, they'd have a penalty back holding, or you know, I mean, they had a ball down the field holding. They had the ball first and goal at the 2. And it was called back for a holding call. And the call never came on until, like, later. I mean, so, yeah, there's a lot of luck, I think, going on here. Because I think when you watch it, it's pretty clear. I was going through team rankings, and the luckiest teams in the league are, according to them, are the Giants, Philadelphia, Minnesota, the Jets, the Chargers, and the Titans are the luck. And the teams with the worst execution are Jacksonville, the Jets, Miami, San Francisco.
Minnesota and Miami, every time I turned that on, they were punting the football. That was a gross football game. Will, before we say goodbye, Severino Valdez, tonight you're getting a price with the Yankees. Are you on them?
No, Yankees will score 1 or 2 runs and lose like they always do in Houston. Astros will probably go up 2-0.
It's Mr. Yankee, Mr. Laker, Mr. Viking, Will Hill. Thank you, Will.
He does it all.
We asked about the pretenders and contenders. What about the Giants? Where do they stand for Michael Lombardi? That's next.